This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Leila Al-Khatami, Communications Director for the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee. We want to get her perspectives as the conflict between Israel and Hamas in Gaza reaches into the start of what would be a third week of violence. And Leila, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Obviously, it's been 2 weeks of intense fighting there. What is the overarching concern and goal of your organization as you watch this unfold over the past 2 weeks?
I mean, the goal of our organization has always been the same, which is a peaceful solution to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. And right now, as this tragedy is unfolding, we're very concerned humanitarianly about what's going on, not only for the Palestinians, but also for the Israelis. And at last count, there were over, I think, just about 800 Palestinians who've been killed, and I think maybe 10 Israelis. And so what we're calling for is an immediate ceasefire and, some way to try and get back to the negotiating table, to also lift the blockade that Israel has imposed on Gaza, to allow in supplies and humanitarian aid and whatnot. And, ultimately what our goal has always been is a peaceful resolution to this conflict.
How do you expect that to transpire? First of all, what do you make of the ceasefire offered by the Egyptians and the French? And what do you make of Israel's demands that the rockets cease permanently and that the smuggling operations between Egypt and Gaza are compromised?
Look, I mean, I absolutely think that rockets shouldn't be fired into Israel. I understand that, there have been allegations of smuggling and whatnot. I think part of the problem is the blockade that is surrounding Gaza, that people aren't allowed to get in, aren't able to get in supplies, and they don't have enough power, hospitals don't have enough medicine. So these are all problems associated with the blockade of Gaza. I mean, in the last several years, we've really seen, a real move away from negotiations. And whereas Israel did withdraw from Gaza unilaterally several years ago, they still control pretty much all the air, land, or air and space surrounding Gaza. So people in Gaza are really kind of living in what could be described as a very large prison. They're surrounded by barbed wire. And they're also being punished for participating in democratic elections that we as the United States really pushed for. And then they ended up electing Hamas, and, now there are no deals with Hamas and negotiations with Hamas. So it puts us in a very precarious position as the United States, in the sense that we've pushed for elections, and then we refuse to deal with who has been elected. And really, at the end of the day, who's suffering? It's the people who are suffering. There have been so many deaths on both sides, injuries, people being maimed for life. I think we really need to get back to a just and durable solution, which addresses the concerns on both sides.
Leila, you talked about some of the priorities necessary for a lasting peace, including the cessation of rocket attacks and other violence from Hamas towards Israel. Also, Israel stopping or at least easing the blockade into Gaza. What do you believe, when you factor in the Israelis, Hamas, as well as the Palestinian Authority and Fatah, can reasonably expect it for them to honor, and what agreements would be pivotal for making this ceasefire actually last?
A lot of people like to talk about the Palestinian-Israeli conflict in religious terms, and it's really not a religious conflict. It's a conflict about land, and so the negotiations would need to be based on a compromise of the 67 borders for both sides, and that means Israel stopping once and for all its military occupation of the West Bank, and also to allow, the Palestinian situation is troubled by a lot of things, and the fact that, Hamas and the Palestinian Authority don't get along. Who is really in control? There's a big power struggle there. That needs to be resolved also successfully on the Palestinian side as they move into these negotiations, which would hopefully end the occupation once and for all, and would also address land concerns that both sides have, and, the issue of a lot of these illegal settlements that Israel has built up in the West Bank, removal of those settlements. And, also of great concern to the Palestinian people, and I think it should be of concern to the people of the world, are all those refugees who, were forced to leave their land. There needs to be some sort of negotiated right of return for those refugees. And, of course, the issue of a shared Jerusalem is something that's also very important in order for any possible negotiations to actually take effect and for this conflict to actually come to an end.
You mentioned that Hamas and Fatah need to get on the same page. How do they do that?
you know, it's very difficult for them to do that the way it's set up now. Really what's happened is, you know, a lot of hopes that people might have had for a two-state solution where the West Bank and Gaza would somehow be connected are really, you know, tenuous right now because there isn't a lot of interaction between those two, and it's been quite hostile. So I think that what really needs to happen is the Palestinians and the Israelis need to really decide, is it going to be a two-state solution for them, or are they going to go with a binational state? And if they go with a binational state, what's that going to mean? Who's going to be in charge? The Palestinians, obviously, like I said, need to come to a resolution on who will represent what. But the way the mechanism is set up right now, the way society and the military is set up, is that, you know, the West Bank and Gaza are very, very separate, and it's hard to get from one end to another if you're a Palestinian. And so those kind of issues need to, again, be resolved. The Palestinians need to be able to get to their families in the West Bank and Gaza. They need to be able to travel freely. They need to be able to find employment. You know, what kind of hope does this give to those people? It doesn't give them any hope at all. So these are all types of things that we need to look at as we try to get back to the table.
Layla, unfortunately, that'll have to be the last word. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Layla Al-Khatami is the Communications Director for the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee here in Washington. This is Dateline Washington.